Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the three kings as we pick up in Daniel chapter 11, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now, he begins to reveal unto Daniel these things that are going to transpire as far as the future is concerned. And here, Daniel gets into such interesting details that many of the Bible's critics have a difficult time with the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, and they say that it was actually written in the year 166 B.C., after all of these events took place, because it was impossible that he could have written of these events until they had happened. However, that's, of course, quite a miracle in itself, because the Septuagint version was made in about 220 or so B.C., and in the Septuagint, the book of Daniel is included. They accepted it as written by Daniel and as authentic at least 60 years before these critics say the book of Daniel was written. So it's interesting that they could have had a copy 60 years before it was written and translated it into Greek. They say that figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure. Also, I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia. Darius was the king at this time. The three kings that would follow would be Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes, and another Darius. These are in secular history known as Cambyses, Pseudo-Smerdis, and Darius Hystaspes. So there will be three kings that will rise up, and the fourth will be richer. This is Xerxes. Then they all, and by his strength and through his riches, he will stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Xerxes was very wealthy, very powerful, and he made an expedition against Greece and was able to defeat but yet not conquer Greece. And so that particular part was fulfilled. There were the three kings, Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes, Darius, and then Xerxes, the fourth, richer than the others, made the expedition against Greece. But then Greece will arise, and a mighty king, Alexander the Great, shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom will be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, but not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion, which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. So Alexander the Great will rise up, but when he falls, the kingdom will not go to his family, to his posterity, nor will they receive the full extent of his dominion. For the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above and have dominion, and his dominion shall be a great dominion. The king of the south was, of course, the general Ptolemy, who took over in Egypt. General Seleucid took over in Syria. And there also was another general who took over in Greece and another one who took over in Thracia. So Greece was divided into the four dominions. But he speaks now, and he doesn't bring up the Grecian or the Thracian kingdom, but only the Syrian and Egyptian, because they are the ones that relate to Israel. For in their wars, Israel was the middle ground between Syria and Egypt. And so in their fighting each other, they had to pass through the land of Israel. Now he begins to give some interesting details that were all fulfilled in history. The king of the south will be strong, have a dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of the years, they shall join themselves together. For the king's daughter, now the king of the north, king of the south were fighting, but in the end, they'll join themselves together. For the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. Now, what happened is that the king of Egypt gave his daughter Berenice to the king of the north, who divorced his wife in order to marry Berenice. But when the Ptolemy died, then he got rid of Berenice and took his wife back again, who in turn poisoned him. And she killed also Berenice and her son. Now, when Berenice had a son, the former queen, her sons were X'd out according to the agreement. But when she poisoned her husband and killed Berenice and her sons, then, of course, her sons were in line again for the throne. And here Daniel tells all of this intrigue and everything else is going to take place. And then the brother of Berenice gathered together an army in Egypt and came up and destroyed this wife who had poisoned her husband and had killed his sister. So he that is begotten of her actually is referring to a family member, which was her brother, and he strengthened her in these times. And a branch of her roots, that is her brother, shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army and shall enter the fortress of the king of the north and shall deal against them and prevail. It was Ptolemy Ergetes, the brother of Berenice, who invaded Syria, just as it's described here. He shall also carry away captives into Egypt with their gods and their princes and with their precious vessels of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return to his own land. But his sons shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces. And one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. That is his sons, the king of the north, who was defeated by Ergetes. And they will assemble a multitude of great forces. One shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. This is Philopater, who is Ptolemy Philopater, who was the king of the south at this time. He gathered together a great army, came against the king of the north. However, though he defeated him and took a lot of loot, the guy did not take full advantage and subjugate the people. He was too interested in the licentious life that he was living in Egypt. And so where it says here, he will cast down many 10,000s, he did destroy a lot of the army, but he will not be strengthened by it. He didn't take advantage of it He just went back and lived a life of luxury and licentiousness in Egypt. For the king of the north then shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. So the king of the north came back again, which was Antiochus Magnus, known as Antiochus the Great. But many shall stand up. Philip of Macedon joined with him against Egypt at this point, plus some rebels in Egypt, plus some of the Jews who were called the robbers of thy people will exalt themselves to establish the vision, and they shall fall. So the king of the north, Antiochus the Great, shall come and cast up a mount and take most of the fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that comes against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, and by his hand shall be consumed, which by his hand will be consumed. He shall also set his face to enter with strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. Now, Ergetes is the king of the south in Egypt. When he took over, he was just 7 years old. So he was just at that point a figurehead. But Antiochus the Great took his daughter Cleopatra, and he made a deal that she should marry Ergetes, figuring that when she got there in the kingdom of Egypt, she would be for her old man. But when the marriage some years later was made and Cleopatra became the wife of Ergetes, rather than siding with her father, Antiochus the Great, she sided with her own husband against her father, so his little plan backfired. Now, Daniel tells about the plan and how it will backfire. If they had only read the Bible, he would have known better than to send his daughter down there. He shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. She won't be for him. And if he had only read that, he would have known better than to send her down. Now after this, shall he turn his face unto the isles. So not being able to conquer into Egypt, he then turned and began, he gathered a navy of 300 ships, and he began to travel in the Mediterranean, beginning to fight actually against Rome, which at this point was beginning to be a power in the ancient world. So he turned his face unto the isles and shall take away many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. And then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Now what happened, of course, is he was defeated by the Romans, and they determined then that they would charge him for all of these wars. And so he was given a sum that he was to pay every year. Well, he and his men went into a temple to take away the treasures, and the people of the city were so incensed, they killed him. And so he fell. He stumbled and fell. He was lost in the place of history. And there shall stand up in his place his son, Seleucus Philopater, who would be a raiser of taxes. He tried to raise the taxes to pay this Roman tribute in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he will be destroyed. Neither in anger nor in battle, he was poisoned and killed. After just a very short reign, because the people didn't like the taxes he was trying to exact from them. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, Antiochus Epiphanes, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now this Antiochus Epiphanes was a real treacherous person. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. And he shall enter peaceably even on the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and the spoil and the riches. He began to conquer, and he did what his fathers did not do, in that they amassed the wealth for themselves, but he began to give away all of the money to all of his generals and those that were with him. So his practice of distributing the loot among the men is here predicted by Daniel. He shall scatter among them the prey and the spoil and the riches, yes, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. So he came against Egypt with a tremendous army, and Egypt met him. But he began to defeat the Egyptians. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief. Now, they were stopped by the Roman government, and yet both of them sought to do mischief. And, of course, you read the history, and it's interesting. The king of Egypt, his brother, was in Alexandria, and both of them were doing a lot of lying and cunning and all. And so the king's heart shall be in them to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table and shall not prosper. They were just lying to each other, making treaties and everything else, which neither of them intended to honor. For yet at the end shall be the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches. His heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. And at the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south. So he sought again to invade. Antiochus Epiphanes sought again to invade Egypt. But it shall not be as the former or the latter, for the ships of Chittim, actually, when he came this time to Alexandria, the Roman ships were there in the port. And so the Roman general, Pompilius Lenus, came to him, and he said, the Roman Senate has ordered you to go home with your troops. And he said, I will consult with my men and we will send an answer to Rome. And Pompilius, the Roman general, took his cane and he drew a circle in the sand around him. And he said, make your decision before you leave that circle. And he was intimidated by the Roman general. And so he said, I've decided to go home, tell the Roman Senate. And so here, this is all predicted here. The Roman Navy met him. They were waiting in port at Alexandria when he came. All predicted in advance. Amazing that God would speak in such detail of these things that had not yet transpired. Now, he was angry because he was rebuffed by Rome. And so he determined to take it out upon the nation of Israel. And on his way back to Syria, he came to Jerusalem and really sought to desecrate the place. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. He came back to Jerusalem and polluted the temple. He built an altar, a pagan altar, above the altar of God, and he offered a pig upon this altar to an idol that they had set up there in the temple of God. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. His desecration of the temple so incensed the people that Judas Maccabeus gathered together a group of zealots and they began to attack the Syrians in guerrilla-type warfare. And they defeated every Syrian contingency that was sent against them. And they finally retook the temple and purified the temple, which period we've just gone through, the Feast of Dedication or Hanukkah in the Jewish calendar, to celebrate Judas Maccabeus retaking and rededicating the temple unto God.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Daniel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Daniel 11 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and watch over you during the week. May your love and commitment to God grow day by day. And may we each one consider what we are giving to God and how we give it, that we might render unto God that which is pleasing and acceptable in His sight, of our time, of our service, of our abilities, of our substance. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Have you ever thought about this simple phrase, God loves you? This just might be the most important truth you could ever grasp, that God has called you into a loving relationship with Himself. Unfortunately, many of us have been brought up to think that we need to earn God's love. In Chuck Smith's book, Why Grace Changes Everything, Pastor Chuck imparts years of wisdom from his own experiences, how he thought he had to work hard and deny his own desires for God to love him. But when he unlocked the secret to God's grace, this changed everything. Come alongside Pastor Chuck to discover an astonishing truth about your relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's not based upon your works, but based upon God's love for you. It's true. Grace changes everything. To find out more and to read a preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download Why Grace Changes Everything by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order this book in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.